We are back, and you are immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down, seeking to get ejected for targeting, as we stiff-arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for Chaos Fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Krieger, alongside Levi Basham, John Spears, and special guest host Luke Krieger. In this, a summer special, we break down the fantasy-relevant rookies from the 2024 NFL Draft. We dive deep into the myriad of off-season moves with old faces and new places, and a raucous mailbag segment gets the juices flowing as we anticipate the upcoming season. Let's get into it. All right, Chaos Fantasy nerds, let's jump into the off season. Let's look at and look ahead at this next season, and in particular, the fantasy relevant rookies who may or may not stand out and be on your fantasy roster this season. We've got a number of them we're going to look at. We're going to go round table, and we're each going to take two or three guys that we're going to focus on and emphasize for the season, and kind of look at see how they may fit into their new team in the NFL, and how they may perform for all you fantasy dorks. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. We'll jump on in. Levi's going to start us off. He's got some guys to look at. Levi, what do you got?
Hey, everybody. It's your reigning champ.
Oh, God.
Levi Basham. Now, pay attention here. You know, this may help your team coming out. But no. Yeah, we just wanted to talk about some relevant rookies that might be for fantasy. I thought it would be kind of fun. So, like, my first one is the most obvious one. Is Marvin Harrison Jr. Got drafted by the Cardinals. And he was the number one receiver. So, like, you know, he's got pretty much no one else competing with him with targets or catches, really. There's maybe Trey McBride, which could be like a tight end, but like he seems pretty like set up to have a like one of those like magical rookie seasons, what I like to call a Puka Nacua.
Get ready.
Someone to keep an eye on, but from what I've been seeing, he's kind of like you're gonna have to pay high for him when you don't, and with a rookie you don't really know. Like he's gonna be like, you're gonna be drafting him as like maybe your number one wide receiver, or like number two if you took one of those like elite wide receivers early. So he's gonna cost some high draft capital, but I think he's set up to have a great year. I mean, everyone remembers Marvin Harrison, how great he was. Everyone's assuming he's gonna be the next coming of him. So I think that really all depends on the quarterback. And like Cardinals, like not the best team, but they could be down a lot. They're gonna be throwing a lot. I think he's a great pick. My next pick, it's gonna sound like a homer pick, but I think he's set up well to have a great rookie season, maybe close to what C.J. Stroud had last year. Caleb Williams, he's set up to have two great receivers that are fantasy relevant, and then he's got a rookie number one pick as well. So like, Caleb Williams throwing to DJ Moore, who was like an amazing wide receiver, like big play wide receiver. Keenan Allen, possession receiver, gets so many catches, kind of like a safety blanket. And then Odunze had, you know, we've seen in college, he's like could be like a really like great receiver, like. So the offense is set up for Caleb Williams. I think with our Superflex setup, if we're still doing that this year, that he could be a really good number two quarterback, or, you know, if everything works out, you know, solid number one running back or quarterback. So my next is a kind of a sleeper, but like I look kind of like Blake Corum. With, you know, he's backing up he's backing up Kyron Williams, but like I think he, you know, in college he was great. Kyron Williams has had health issues, and they may not want to, you know, give Kyron Williams a heavy workload. So I think Blake Corum could be like a late pick where you could play him as a flex or something like that, or, you know, number three or number four running back and have potentially like good like value. So he's one of those running backs that I don't think anybody's talking about. And the Rams are going to have a great offense this year. I'd like a piece of the Rams offense if it was me. So those are the three that I've been looking at. What do you got, John? What are you thinking about?
I'm looking at two of the quarterbacks that came out, really high draft picks. One is Jaden Daniels. The other, J.J. McCarthy, I feel like they're kind of two sides of the same coin. Whereas I think Daniels put in he has the numbers coming out of college, whereas J.J. McCarthy has the hardware at the end of the season. They were kind of a run-heavy offense at Michigan,
mm-hmm.
Whereas Jaden, Jaden Daniels like 3,500 plus yards and 40 touchdowns, and he rushed for over 1,100, I think, and 10 touchdowns. So I think he's more of the. This is not an endorsement for him, but I'd say he's more of the rookie of those two, who I would rather have because I feel like his ceiling is much higher. But J.J. McCarthy may be more NFL ready, being he played under Jim Harbaugh
mm-hmm.
at Michigan, who's now at the Chargers. But Daniels, as far as talent, I think he's probably more talented. But he's at Washington.
He's got the rushing too. Like he could be like an Anthony Richardson type.
Right. But it's scary. Like you look at Anthony Richardson last year, who couldn't last. didn't work. And maybe there's just a freak thing. But of those two, I think I would lean more heavily on Jaden Daniels. I don't know where they would fall in the draft rank. Probably not very high. I don't think you'd have to jump too much for either one. But in a super flex, you know, it depends on how many quarterbacks other teams Amanda take. Whereas, one of these rookies can come out with fireworks. I think Jaden Daniels is probably that guy, but McCarthy is not one I would dismiss as being. He might not start right away, but I feel like he'll end the season probably the starter if I had to put money on it.
Yeah, I think both will probably get drafted. And mostly because J.J. McCarthy is a Viking.
Lance is on it.
Lock
it in.
Oh yeah,
it's there. Yeah. You know what? I'm not even gonna jump in front of it. Like, let it happen. That's fine.
Yeah.
But a quick question to you, Lita. When you were talking about the Bears, you know, obviously you're a Bears fan. If you took every elite player in their position on your team, how many wins do you think you would have? Like, say you took. The quarterback, you took the running back, you took the best receiver, the tight end, the defense.
How many wins would I have
in
the fantasy league?
Yeah, how many wins do you think you could get with... Because the Bears have potential to be special.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know.
I don't know.
Kind of indifferent.
It's hard to tell. Like, I don't know if the Bears will be, like, a top five offense. But, like, I think they could be something special. It's hard to say based on last year. Their offense was kind of not creative, but I think the talent is there. I think, I don't know, like, I couldn't tell the wins. Like, I think you could get a good amount of wins. I don't know if you'd win the league.
No, I don't think you'd win the league, but do you think you could be 500 with those? I mean, there's some elite players.
I think you could be close, like, especially if Caleb Williams is close to what people are saying he is.
So, I mean, you could have those three receivers, and I think you can have really good weeks.
Yeah.
Like, exploding, you know, if the quarterback pans out, you know.
But, like, being on the same team, you're kind of – I get the question, but,
Is it – do you think they're that elite? Or you have that feeling going into the season, right? You know, with the rookies.
I think that's an offense that I'm not going to shy away from.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right.
Luke.
So I got two Bills. I got first. I got Keon Coleman, and it's a little tricky with the Bills right now. The receivers. I don't feel like Coleman will I don't know if he'll be drafted very high. He'll probably be drafted later rounds, but he's like 6'4", 6'5", and he's definitely going to be the Bills' deep threat, so I feel like he's going to be like Gabe Davis last year. He's going to probably be have some weeks where he's like zero and some weeks where he's like best numbers in the league, and so that's probably going to be... He's probably going to be, you know, play at your own risk and stuff like that.
I've seen enough of him in college to know that he's going to be like, you know, like the talent's there.
Yeah.
To be like the number one.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's going to take a little bit, and the Bills have kind of changed from the, you know, big play but pass offense. Yeah. Like they seem to be more run first.
Yeah.
Tight end oriented, but
the Chiefs.
Yeah, they seem like they started to mirror the Chiefs.
Second rate Chiefs, maybe.
Mm.
So
whoa!
Zinger!
Shots fired!
Dang!
All right, so you got Keon Coleman. Who else you got?
I got Ray Davis, and he's probably gonna be a free agent in fantasy. I wouldn't be surprised if nobody took him because. Yeah. He's a second string. They're debating putting him on third string, and so he's probably not going to have too great of a year. But, I mean, he could do good things if, like, a running back goes down, so, you know.
But more importantly, what is he?
Oh, he's a Kentuckian.
That was something. he's a Kentucky Wildcat. That's what that was. Yeah. Are you Louisville? All you Louisville degenerates, for all you, yeah. All right, good breakdown. The Bills have a couple of nice rookies that they can plug and play. And I'm going to wrap it up here. I've got three guys I'm looking at. I'm going to start with Malik Nabers out of LSU, who was drafted by the New York Giants. You know, a couple things stand out to me. One is... I mean, it's hard to go wrong drafting an LSU receiver, right? I mean, we've seen it. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, two of the best receivers in the league from LSU. It's wide receiver U there, and they bring another one. And in fact, they've got Jaden Daniels and Brian Thomas Jr., who's also one of the top rookies who was drafted by Jacksonville. So LSU is putting receivers in the league. Again, he's not going to go super high, but probably a good value pick late rounds. I mean, they do have, I mean, none of these names scare you, but they've got, you know, Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, and even Allen Robinson. It's
Joey's fantasy team.
Yeah, that's probably going to be.
That's Joe.
Yeah. So, no, but there's a lot of depth there, and Nabers could work his way in there. I'm not, like, selling him high or, you know, like, promoting him highly, but he'll be a name to look out for in the coming seasons. Second guy I'm going to look at is Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. He just dominated the SEC. In fact, the nation really at the tight end position was by far the best tight end in college. And he just has a lot of skills. He's with the Las Vegas Raiders. And really, there's not a ton of weapons there. I mean, Davante Adams is still there. But then after that, it's quite the drop-off. You've got Jacoby Myers, Michael Gallup. But a problem that they do have is their quarterback, which is Gardner Minshew, who moves into a new role with the Raiders. Bowers will be good. He'll be worth a flyer on your late round picks. Keep an eye on him. And then finally, Xavier Worthy, who was drafted by the Chiefs and played his college career at Texas. In fact, I just saw something yesterday that he broke the NFL combine record with a 4.21 40.
Fastest guy in the draft.
Yeah, fastest guy in recent years. And so that's what Kansas City likes, those guys. They had Tyreek Hill. They've had, you know, Mecole Hardman. All those guys were super kind of smaller, athletic. And so he's going to fit in well with Kansas City. Again, I don't see him, you know, rising to the top of this wide receiver room because they still have Hollywood. They brought in Hollywood Brown. They still have Rashee Rice, who had a great rookie season. You got Sky Moore there, is similar to Xavier Worthy, and then Kadarius Toney. There's a lot of names in that running back or wide receiver room So he'll have to kind of work his way through. It's another guy I would probably draft two, maybe in a couple more years. But Xavier Worthy is another guy I think who's going to have a long fantasy career. And so, so that's that. You know, we kind of went through a few of the guys. There's other names that we left off. Jonathan Brooks, who went to Carolina, running back out of Texas, has some pop. Ladd McConkey, also out of Georgia, went to the Chargers. Brian Thomas Jr., again, I mentioned before, another LSU receiver, went to Jacksonville. And so there's some other guys there. Jalen Polk, who came out of that Washington team with Dunzie, was one of the best wide receivers, probably the best wide receiver core in the college football last year with Washington. So you got Jalen Polk. He goes to the Patriots.
It's a shame he went to the Patriots, really.
What's that?
It's a shame he went to the Patriots.
No, it is.
Like Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it's
Brissett, and I mean, Drake May's probably gonna start at some point.
And that ain't scaring me none. So yeah. I don't want anything to do with the Patriots offense this year, probably. Rhamondre Stevenson, maybe. So that's just a quick look at some of the rookies, NFL draft, and some new faces on some of these teams and what we think about them. So let us know what you think in the comments.
So speaking of new faces, let's talk about some old faces.
Yeah.
New teams. I'm gonna play this game.
Yeah.
Where I call new face, old team. Everybody at home can play as well. I'll name a player that has moved to a new team, and you try to guess where they went. So.
Okay.
All right.
I'll start with an easy one here. Deontay Johnson. Where did he go?
Carolina.
Yep, Carolina.
Oh, dang. I did not know.
Yeah, he
Pittsburgh.
He went from Pittsburgh to Carolina. He's expected to be the number one receiver there. But
he loved George Pickens' nose, right?
George Pickens stayed. And then Thielen is still there. So that, I mean, doesn't sound terrible, wide receiver core there, but, like, nobody's really thinking about Carolina.
Nah.
But... Okay, here's another one that's easy. Jerry Jeudy, where did he go?
Oh, he went to did he go to Pittsburgh?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wait.
Where did Jerry Jeudy go?
He got traded.
Ah.
I want to say Baltimore, but I don't think that's right.
Did he go to Cleveland?
Cleveland. There it is.
I knew he went to a
Cleveland Steamer. Drafted Jerry Jeudy. Well, yeah.
Traded to the Browns, soon to be Steamers.
Hey, Cleveland has a roster now.
Yep.
I'm gonna draft their defense first.
All right, here's one that's a little harder. DJ Shark.
No, I saw his name. Where did he go? Oh no, he
don't
went...
care.
Don't care.
He sucks. John loved him.
He was like a man crush back then.
Oh yeah, but he's an LSU receiver, former LSU.
AFC.
Did he go to?
He went to the Raiders.
Mm-mm. Did he go to Miami?
I don't know. Not Miami. He is an LA Charger.
I knew it was a blue team. I knew it was a blue team. Mm-hmm.
All right. Another one. So Boston Scott is not on the Eagles anymore. He's on a new team.
I don't know who that is.
Boston Scott.
I don't know who that is.
The Louisville Cardinals.
No, he's out of. He doesn't have eligibility. I'll probably take him.
Yeah, I would take
him.
I have no idea.
He's the Ram.
An eighth string running back at the Rams.
All right, here we go. Mike Gesicki.
Oh,
I did see that.
Yeah. I saw him too.
A lot of tight ends moved this offseason.
I think he went to. Did he go to the Bengals?
Yeah, that's
ooh,
right.
Look Bengals. At that.
Good job,
Mr. Memory over there.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. All right, Michael Gallup.
He went to.
You said it. You said it.
Where did it go?
You said it.
Look cheap.
No, he went to the. He went to the Raiders.
Yep.
He went to the Raiders. Yeah.
The Raiders.
Good job. Yeah.
That's a guy that I thought was going to be great.
You love Mike.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I'm Mike still.
Well, I mean, other than Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers,
if anyone wants to bet a dollar, somebody's going to pick up Michael Gallup.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It'll be John.
No, I will. Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah,
no, it will be.
Not ashamed to say that I take Michael Gallup.
I would be. That's pathetic.
Yeah. All right, now, Lester had so many injured quarterbacks. Now we need to, you know, think about some backup quarterbacks for when that. So Josh Dobbs is on a new team. Where did he go?
Oh, I do not know.
I do.
Minnesota.
No. He was the Minnesota last year.
Yeah.
He went to Arizona.
No, he came from Arizona.
I'm sorry. He went to Washington.
Mm-mm. Don't you get guess again.
He went to...
just name all
I've seen it earlier. I can't remember.
Atlanta. All the red teams.
No. I'll give you a hint. Joey's probably going to have a jersey for him.
San Francisco.
Okay.
He's a 49er back in Brock Purdy.
It's kind of shocking. Yeah, like, he had a good little stint there in Minnesota. Yeah. Feel like they could...
He's a great backup. Yeah, like, why don't you spend the money to keep him?
I guess he maybe command. Well, of course, he's going to be the backup there, right? Behind Purdy?
Yeah. So, I feel like that's a little comforting if something happens to Purdy, that they'll be really good with Dobbs. All right, here's another backup quarterback. Carson Wentz, where do you go?
Kansas City.
Yeah. To rot.
Sam Howell, where did he go?
Sam Howell went to Seattle.
So.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Here's my last one, and this is for John. Alexander Mattison.
Oh, I think I saw him. I don't remember.
To Baltimore?
No.
Mm-mm. I think he.
You're in the right conference. Though.
Okay.
I know. I thought I knew, and I was right.
No.
What is it? Tell me.
I guess it's Cleveland.
No. Yeah, he went to the Raiders.
Raiders.
So they got rid of Josh Jacobs. They ship him off to Green Bay.
They got rid of Josh Jacobs and
they got Madison Alexander.
He's not starting. It's
you should draft him again, John.
I'm not touching that guy.
Is it Zamir White?
Yeah, Zamir White is starting, and then Madison's behind him, and then Amir Abdullah.
I don't remember whatever the time they thought Zamir White would supplant Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Like that was the talk of that when
he did this year. He will this year.
He was a big dynasty.
Josh Jacobs left.
Well, he took his place.
Yeah.
He supplanted him.
Well, good job.
Alexander Mattison.
I think y'all did pretty good.
There's so many moves.
I mean, there have been so many moves, but it's good to flex the muscles, get it, you know where things are. So.
Well, let's keep this going. I got a couple more.
Okay.
All right. So, where did Stephon Diggs?
Houston.
So that's a big one, right? So
I don't like that
Diggs
one.
Leaves Buffalo to go to Houston with C.J. Stroud.
I don't like that one.
I mean, look out. How about Joe Mixon? Where'd he end up?
He's also Houston.
Houston's freaking nasty.
But their offense is going to be... It only makes me feel great about C.J. Stroud. Like, I got to feel what's going to happen. Like, who do you take first out of, like, oh, those were three receivers. Like, which one do you want?
That will be tough. I mean.
And they got Dalton Schultz.
I'm going to say it's the best receiving core in the league, I think.
Probably.
If not the deepest.
The deepest. I don't know. Like, there's probably, the top two. There's probably better receiving cores that have a better top two.
Yeah, I'm sure.
No, I was thinking, Bengals, you know.
Yeah.
So what about this? So what about this? This team picked up Deontay Foreman, Tyler Huntley as a backup quarterback, also Jameis Winston, and Nyheim Hines. Names we all are familiar with. This team picked all four of those up.
Browns?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
Cleveland
made some moves.
A lot of teams did.
Yeah, like most.
This is more moves than I can remember. Yeah.
This team, how about this? This team picked up KJ Osborne, Antonio Gibson, and Austin Hooper.
That is the New England Patriots.
They picked up Osborne, KJ Osborne, who was a nice receiver in Minnesota.
He's fine.
Had his moments.
He's fine.
He had his moments. All right, so there's that.
Antonio Gibson, everyone's been burned by Ramondre. I don't know where he's gonna go. Like, he should be like a high running back to take, but I don't know. It seems
should be.
I think he might be a little bit of value, because nobody's gonna take him at his value or what he will be. So, I don't know.
Where did Jimmy G end up?
Oh, he went. No, I was just looking at it.
He left the 49ers. Where'd he go?
Hopefully home.
Yeah.
He left. He went. No. Did he go to Seattle?
No.
No, he went. He went. I was looking at this. I was like, look, Jimmy G, he went there.
I don't remember. Time's up. He went to the Rams.
Ah. Oh.
Backing up Matt Stafford.
Oh.
All right. How about this? This team picked up three receivers in the offseason. Ray-Ray McCloud, Darnell Mooney, and Rondell Moore.
Gosh. Oh, gosh.
I talked about this, so I'm not going to say
I was... Oh, no.
Giants?
They also have a new quarterback. They have a new quarterback and they...
And a new coach.
Yep.
Oh, wait. It's Chargers.
No.
Oh, crap.
Ray-Ray McCloud, Darnell Mooney, and Rondell Moore.
We were literally talking about this like a few minutes ago.
Atlanta Falcons.
Ah. Oh.
So, they gave some weapons to Cousins. We'll see what he does.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Falcons. I mean, they got to be, at least throwing-wise, passing-wise, they got to be a lot better.
They should be. Ritter was there last year, and he just really wasn't a passing quarterback.
They still got, what's his name? Their running back, what's his name?
Bijan.
Yep.
It ain't just everybody hates him now.
Right. It's going to be good this year.
So this team picked up Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, two receivers, and Cordarrelle Patterson.
It's Pittsburgh.
So they pick up some veteran receivers and a running back.
Only
kind of see how that works out.
Van.
All right, this team picks up, John, this one's specifically for you. This team picked up Will Dissly, Gus Edwards, and J.K. Dobbins.
Oh.
That's right, the Baltimore running backs went to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Went to one of your favorite teams.
I remember. Well, you're just talking about
this. Went to one of your favorite teams. Will Dissly, Gus Edwards, and J.K. Dobbins. They went to the Chargers.
I mean, Gus Edwards is the number one running
back. I like J.K. Dobbins, but man, if he just stay healthy.
I don't think we can. You can't rely on him. I think Gus Edwards is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Did they get a rookie too?
They love running the ball. Like our Jim Harbaugh loves running the ball.
Yeah. But they did, I don't know if he'll show Vidal, but.
I got another good one. All right, this might be my last one. This team picked up C.J. Uzma, tight end, Paris Campbell, receiver, and Kenny Pickett.
I know. Philadelphia.
Yep. Philadelphia.
He just had to travel right across town. Pittsburgh to Philly?
Yeah. Didn't have to go far. Probably didn't have to move.
Right.
Yeah.
People know him.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Hey guys, lots of movement in this offseason. A lot of guys who are veterans or they're middle of their careers moving to different places. You got Aaron Jones, you've got Josh Jacobs, you've got guys who have been fantasy winners. I mean, Josh Jacobs in particular, I can remember, I know Lance had him when he won this championship. So we got some league winners out there moving around. I think this is going to make for an interesting season coming up, and particularly an interesting draft to see, you know, where some of the teams value some of these guys that have moved around. You've got Aaron Rodgers coming back off of an injury year. He's 40 now, I think. But he's got pieces all around. He's got Breece Hall. I mean, there's a lot of narratives going into the season, a lot of moves. Which again should make for, I think it will make for a more diverse, interesting season. And you might see someone that you wouldn't think make a run this year coming up, in 2024 and 25. So, all right, we'll end with that and we'll move on to the next segment. All right, everybody, we are back and it is now time to select the draft order going into the 24-25 CFL season. And we're doing it a little bit earlier than we typically do this year, which I think gives everybody a little bit more time to kind of evaluate and strategize and take a look at their pick selection and really kind of get a better strategy together as they enter the draft. And so we're going to do this starting from the 10th pick. We have little pieces of paper and a hat. John is juggling right before the mic there, and we are going to do this one at a time.
Before we go, also, we're going to, once we get to the third through the first pick, that'll break off, and we'll announce them broken off as 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So we're gonna go down 10 to 4. We'll start that way, and then we'll go 1, 2, and 3. And so, with the 10th draft pick in the 2024-25 CFL fantasy football season and draft, the Houdinis will draft 10th.
Good pick.
Good, Derek. Hey, it's a good pick. It's a good pick.
There you go, Derek.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody cares, Derek. All right. Now we've got the 10th pick out of the way. The 9th pick in the 2024-25 CFL draft will go to Black Sunday. Black Sunday. The 9th.
I don't know. His eyes didn't look like he liked it.
Yeah. The 9th pick.
Not excited.
I'm fine with it. Okay. I'm fine
with it. He's reasoning. The wheels are turning.
I think you were 9th last year, right?
I think I was. You were like a late I was in the back. Right? Maybe 8th.
And but... he's up, so.
Yeah, no. Oh. Yeah, thanks. All right, folks, we've got 2 picks down. Moving on to the 8th pick in the 2024-25 CFL draft. The Victoria's Secret will pick 8th. She will All pick 8th.
Right. All right.
For the Shaky Baby Alliance. And so we've got. Whoa. The Strong Arm Alliance going 10th, the Hacksaw Alliance going 9th, and now the Shaky Baby comes in with the 8th pick. All right. We are shaking the hat up. We're going to make our 7th draft order pick for the 2024-25 fantasy football season, and it's going to go to It's What Plants Crave. The Shaky Babies are back-to-back on the 8th and 7th pick.
Like it?
Whoa.
I'm surely no collusion will happen during those picks. Never collude in their lives. Yeah.
It's not my right, first pick, point. But I'll take it. Yeah, I think I can draft a good team from there.
All right, there we go. The Shaky Babies are down with the 8th and 7th pick. And now we're going to look at the 6th pick for the fantasy football draft coming up in August. And that's going to be Farewell to Hope. We'll take the 6th pick, which is probably the worst pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
Josh Allen. Get Josh Allen.
You're going to miss all the good players.
Get you a good player there at 6. Yeah. You don't have to wait. You know, like it's
constantly drafting players.
You just get one player. Second rate
players.
All right, the 6th pick goes to Farewell to Hope, part of the Strong Arm Alliance.
What?
And now
there's no alliance.
No, yeah, absolutely. Is.
Oh no,
all right, so we've got. What, 4 picks down? We're now down to the 5th pick, and then once we finish the 4th, we're going to reverse order and go back. We're going to come down to the 1st pick. So we've got the hat out here. We need someone to draw a name. Anybody?
Here we go.
All right. And now with the 5th pick in the 2024-25 CFL fantasy draft, the Purple Bleeders. Woo! The Purple Bleeders are going to pick. The 5th pick, and it's probably, if Justin Jefferson's still there, he's off the board. Guarantee it with the 5th pick, but he's probably not going to be there. But yeah,
welcome to the middle, Lance.
Yeah, welcome to the middle.
Does Lance always have the 5th pick? Did he have the
5th
pick?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a middle-of-the-road guy. I mean, he's solid. Always solid. Yeah, always good.
Drafts well. You don't care.
All right, so we've got 5 picks down. I'm sorry, 6 picks down. We have 4 more to go. We are down to the 4th pick.
Yeah.
And we are drawing a name.
Who's the bride?
Luke has the honors. And for the 4th pick in this upcoming draft, Slop Nasty. Back-to-back Ooh. Union brothers.
Wow.
They're going to pick. Slop Nasty is going to be picking in the 4th slot. Christian McCaffrey will not be there for you, buddy.
We got the Cleveland Steamers.
Try to get
top state down. All-Stars. And who am I missing?
Bacon?
Yeah, Scoops Troops.
Scoops Troops. So we got three teams vying for the number one pick.
This is for number one.
Yeah.
This is for number one.
We're drawing for the number one pick. John has done the honors.
Number one.
And pick. He's now unveiling the number one pick, which will go to the Intoxicated All-Stars. Joey Hayes.
Christian McCaffrey.
Number one.
Setting the record once again
number for one.
The number one pick.
Right.
I think he's had the number one pick the most times.
Yeah.
He's never won it in that draft spot. So
goodbye, CMC.
Yeah, go figure.
All right, here it comes down to.
All right, we got
Beamers versus Scoops Troops.
Yep.
Number two.
I don't know how much this is going
to
matter.
The last bit of drama comes down to this. Yeah, if you pick two or you pick three, okay, I don't know. Doesn't matter too much. But the number two pick will go to the commish, Cleveland Steamers. He will pick at the two spot, which has won the championship in the past. Also, the three spot has as well. So that is a good spot to be drafting from. And the Hacksaw Alliance is set to dominate after the ninth and second pick goes to. It's almost unfair. It's almost unfair. That the Hacksaw got those lovely, beautiful pick spots. I don't see anybody beating us. So
he'll blow it.
So that leaves no drama. The last pick,
he'll blow. He's gonna draft Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. So Joey's picking. I'm assuming he's taking McCaffrey.
Gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
So Deshaun Watson's on the board.
Yeah.
For the Steamers.
Yeah.
So that means the Scoops Troop will pick third. Again, another good spot to pick from. And so Levi, what do we got?
So
run it down.
We'll go from 10 to 1. 10 spot, the Houdinis. 9 is Black Sunday. 8, Victoria's Secret. 7, It's What Plants Crave. 6, Farewell to Hope. 5, Purple Bleeders. 4, Slop Nasty. 3, Scoops Troop. 2, Cleveland Steamers. And number 1, Intoxicated All-Stars.
So outstanding.
Yeah.
All right.
You can now plan your mock drafts, everyone.
Yeah. No, hey, guys, get on the app. What's that called? What's
Sleeper.
That one?
Sleeper.
Huh? Sleeper.
Sleeper. Get you a Sleeper app. Download it on your phone and do some practice. Do some mock draft practicing before the draft, which kind of give you an idea of some of the players that in the pools of players you're going to be looking at your draft position. You can probably do that for the first two or three rounds pretty well. After that, it gets a little bit more difficult. But, hey, we want a good draft. We want a competitive draft. We want this league to be competitive. So, in the last couple of years, it's not disappointed. We come down to the last week of the season. Almost everybody's in it. And
it wasn't
so we're
that hard last year, to be honest.
Well, there's from the champion, you know.
Mm. It could be a little harder, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying it could be a little bit more difficult.
All right, so there's motivation for the rest of the league to step up and stomp on Levi. And so we got that. But, hey, looking forward to the season, looking forward to the draft. Now we have the draft order. There we go. Let's do it.
All right, everybody. Now let's get to our mailbag / roundtable. Just talk about a thing. Let's just start with the mailbag, and then we'll talk with other things.
And we'll fight after that.
We're going to fight. Get things charged, ready to go. We'll be at each other's throats by the end of it.
I told you, I'm wound up. I've been beat down by the sun today. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm about sick and tired of Derek. I'm ready to put him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be drafting next to him.
Yeah.
I know.
Buddy. You should have to put each other's hands in each other's pockets.
He ain't strong-arming me. I got news for you. He's not strong-arming me.
All right.
Yeah, all right.
Let's get to the questions and we'll fight.
Okay.
Well let's do it.
This one's from Joseph.
Derek's a pump.
Thanks for writing in, Joe.
Thanks for writing in, Joe. He asked, do the Broncos even have a roster?
They do.
I mean, they have a roster.
They do have warm bodies.
They have high school player potential.
The answer is yes, they have a roster.
Yeah.
Is that the question? Do they have a roster? Yes, they do.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a yes or no question, yes.
Yeah. Okay, move on. No, I'm just kidding. No, they have a terrible roster. They have Bo Nix or Jared Stidham, who's going to start at quarterback. Javonte Williams, who's injury prone, is all get out. They get rid of Jerry Jeudy. Their receivers are Cortland Sutton, Josh Reynolds, and Marvin Mims, who some people like in his sophomore season. This roster is trash. They're obviously on a rebuild mode. They're going young. They're releasing some salary cap. They're trying to they're rebuilding, so they're not looking to win the division this year.
I do think this might be a prove it season for Javonte Williams. Like if he doesn't do anything this year, his career is probably done.
It's almost not fair. They may be just playing for the first pick, or get some draft capital here.
I don't know. They might be a little sneaky. I don't think they're a playoff team or anything. But
nothing like last year.
No, they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, they're
gonna have another 70-point game.
On paper, they're one of the worst teams.
Yeah, but I think they'll end up being better than people think. But
you know, with Bo Nix or Jared Stidham, I mean, who likes any of those? But and then they got Zach Wilson as well. I mean, you talk about three trash quarterbacks.
That's a trifecta.
That's trash.
Do you want to bet a dollar that all three of those players will be on a roster?
They'll be on Joe's.
They'll be in a backup position.
They'll be on Rob's.
Zero on Rob's.
No, Rob don't do that.
But I will say that there will be a player in my bold predictions that'll be off of that roster.
Okay.
So, look forward to that in the
tune
future.
I mean, okay. Sounds good. All right. So, yes, Joe.
Thanks for that terrible question. Joe, yes, they have a roster. All right, next question.
All right, this one's from Amanda. She wants a tally of all of us who think that Rob, the commissioner, is a crybaby. He is, in fact, a crybaby.
I see all hands raised.
Yeah. Sorry, Filbert.
No, you don't see all hands raised. Sorry. I'm over here.
Okay.
You didn't have to look this way.
I don't care.
All important.
We tallied it up. Rob's a crybaby. Yeah. Next question.
Sorry, Rupert Filbert.
No, Rob's a commissioner. Show respect, first and foremost. Secondly, he's a member of the Hacksaw Alliance, which is the greatest alliance, the first alliance in this epic CFL league.
Speaking of crybabies,
here we go.
I'm not crying about nothing. Facts.
Sounds like you're crying about it.
I'm negative.
Fight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Seems like the podcast has come to consensus that Rob is a crybaby.
Yes. Indeed.
Yeah.
A crybaby.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. What podcast are you on? Another podcast too?
This one.
He's crying.
The Chaos Cast?
Okay.
It didn't say it was unanimous.
You know what they say when he's crying, a baby's crying, just ignore it?
It's like crying.
Just cry. Like cry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cry himself to sleep.
Doesn't work for Rob, though.
No, Brad kind of quieted down.
All right, next question. Oh, conveniently from Rob. He says, how does it feel to know the Hacksaw Alliance will dominate this year?
Why'd you read it?
These were the questions that came in.
To read them. I didn't know that was asked.
Can I comment on this one?
You cry about it?
No, I'm not going to cry about it. I'm actually going to elaborate on this. Well, I mean, this
procrastination.
Prognostication.
I always struggle with that word. Prognostication. Yeah, that it's correct, and that's partially because our draft position. Rob has a sweet number two spot, which has won the title in the past 2 years. Not the past 2 years, but two of the past four years have come from the two spot. And I'm drafting on the back end, which is a great position to draft from as well. We're both going to be near the top early and often and all the way through. Okay. And so,
all right.
Okay.
I mean, shake and bake.
I'll just say that, even if you get the two spot, you still need some skill to, win the championship.
Exactly.
I tell you who doesn't think that the Hacksaw Alliance will dominate. That's Vegas. They have their betting.
Vegas?
Yeah. They have the Cleveland Steamers at plus 5,000 to win the championship. Which I think that's pretty good. And then Black Sunday's plus 2,500.
I don't quite know how to feel about that.
This is just Vegas here.
I just got
these numbers from.
No, I appreciate you sharing those numbers. Yeah. So I'm a little bit torn because I'm one side of this thing. I'm happy that, our league has raised to the level of Las Vegas, getting Draft attention Kings. From Vegas and DraftKings. I mean, we're on DraftKings, guys. come on. I mean, we're making it. Yeah. We have arrived on DraftKings sportsbook, but secondly, we got the charisma. We got the swag. We got the attitude. We got the knowledge. We've got the info, the inside information, the inside track. We have the gifts that don't stop giving. The Trump gifts the hack gifts.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be stopped. Can't be stopped.
Like, I just started looking at my phone.
This Vegas kind of disagrees. You can't be stopped.
Yeah, Vegas is
a text message because I care less what he's talking about.
Yeah. There are some props that were here too. It's with Plants Crave Drafts, James Conner -125.
I love that. That's a slam dunk.
Purple Vegas.
I'm putting like 100 on that.
The purple bleeders draft of Viking -25,000.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's an obvious one. Take that. You're about to make bank.
Scoop Troops draft a suspended or hurt player +250.
Ooh.
I think that might happen. He does do a suspended every year, but maybe, you know.
Is it because he has a big heart?
I think he's always optimistic about players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more like a rehabilitation.
It's a blessing and a curse, basically.
Yeah.
Next one, the Farewell to Hope likes everyone's roster after the draft, -350.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
He's too nice. He's just too nice.
Yeah.
Black Sunday drafts Devin Leary in the last round, +200.
Yeah.
Get out of town. He stinks.
That's going to happen.
He stinks.
He's going to draft money. He's going to draft Will free Levis. Money.
Yeah. So,
Devin Leary. What a turd.
Yeah. And then
Devin Leary and Will Levis is going to be your super flex near the quarterback.
I'll take Will Levis on a flyer.
I think you'll probably have Will Levis on your team.
I'd take him.
It's possible. It's possible.
I'd take him if he's available.
I'll just go down the betting odds too, just so everybody. It's with Plants Crave, defending champs +200, Farewell to Hope +500,
what?
Scoop Troop +600.
Who put out these?
DraftKings, this is
Vegas. Pay attention.
Victoria's Secret +800. I like those. Good value. Houdini +1,000. The Bleeders and Slop Nasty +1,200.
That's a farce.
Toxicated All Stars +1,500.
What is the odds that Black Sunday tries to steal a kiss from Cleveland Steamers this season?
So throughout the whole season,
what would you place the odds that he tries to steal?
I don't think it's a guarantee, so I put it at a +300, +250 maybe. Like, it's likely to happen.
Right.
But, you know, it's got to be a natural thing, you know.
Greater than zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some moment has to connect them. Like,
I believe there's going to be tons of moments.
But, you know,
hey, what?
They can only go up here. Yeah. From last season.
This podcast is getting a little too big for its britches, is what I'm thinking. Unbelievable.
Oh, Cleveland Steamers over under 24.5 hacksaw hoes during the draft.
Hey, good joke. Good joke. These are great jokes. Yeah. These are good jokes.
We might be at the point now. I'm on a golf course and heard it.
Yeah.
And they were on two separate teams.
Right. They were on their own team, different teams.
In their own heart.
Sounds like, speaking of collusion, it sounds like these two dorks over here colluded against me and Rob prior to the podcast.
No.
And came up with these ridiculous odds.
No notes written. You're the one that brought it up. You're the one that keeps talking about it.
There was a question sent in from the commissioner about that. How did it feel? And then, to get a good feel, they have all the numbers, the data.
Yeah,
they're doing everything.
They know what they're
doing. They don't like liars.
So anyways, we'll move on to the next question.
Please.
This one's also from Rob. She said, who thinks Amanda is a bully?
Well, she is a bully. I mean, look at the... No,
yeah.
Thanks. No. I mean, look at some of... Look. Look at some of the photos she posts out there. Middle fingers out to everybody and everything. Showing these... You know, disgruntled faces. It's a shaky baby leg.
I don't get crying. Like,
I just admitted that yes, she's a bully.
Like, that's what I want on this lens. I want a bully that can tear up. Year of the bully. Okay.
If you own a stand in the dirt,
lunch money taken.
Yeah.
Don't have a shot.
I think the odds on who would be the bigger bully as far as alliances, the Hacksaw Alliance would be -50,000.
But then they call everybody. It's like, it would, I don't know, that's not bully mentality.
I don't know who the bully is. It's Selena. She sent the most cold-blooded text through you right after I lost in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty good. I still think about
that. Do we have any more questions?
Man.
Do we have any more interesting questions?
Sure. This one's from Amanda. Is the Hacksaw Alliance fake news?
Why don't we quit breathing life into it? Like,
then it will be fake?
I'm just saying, this will stop talking about it.
The Alliance?
Specifically theirs.
Well, I mean, look.
I don't think it.
Well, I'll answer the question. You don't want to answer it. So the answer is the Hacksaw Alliance fake news? No, the Hacksaw Alliance is simply news, and it always will be news because it's news to everyone. When we start rolling through the league and we start talking smack and, you know, backhanding all you nerds on the fantasy football field. That's when it's going to... It won't be funny anymore. It won't be a joke anymore. Here's the Hacksaw bullies. Yeah, it'll be evident that the Hacksaw Alliance is bullies. We got 2x4s. We're coming off the top rope.
What if y'all play week one?
I'm sorry?
What if y'all play week one?
Well, I mean, we're going to play some week. What does it matter if it's week one or week 10? Who cares?
Well, one of you is going to be in the back, and one of you is going to be in the front.
Well, we'll finish in
Sound
the front.
Familiar?
Again.
Okay.
Oh man.
Man.
That's good.
That's all I got from the mailbag.
Good.
Oh, I got a question to bring us back to whatever this is. So in a scenario, in a league, let's say, where let's say a juggernaut league where one person gets to draft his team, like his entire team first, and then everybody else gets to draft in the whatever order. But he gets to do it before everybody else, so he has the team that he wants. But he goes last in the waiver order, and yeah, do you think he's going to go over 500 or under 500?
Over.
Well, what was the question? I'm sorry.
If a juggernaut, like a juggernaut where he drafts all of his players first, but he goes last waiver wire and has like least money or whatever.
Every week.
Do you think he goes over 500?
Yeah,
easily.
So like at the beginning of every round, you get to pick. First.
No, he gets to take all the players.
His entire team before anybody else.
But during the season, he's last in waiver.
Oh yeah,
and has the least amount of money.
Yeah, you won't need to.
You think?
And so, what does that tell you? That the draft means way more than the waiver does.
Do you think they win the league?
I think, yeah, they'd be favored. I don't know if it's like 100.
Do you think they win?
Heavily favored.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Even if they missed out on Puka Nacua, they still got, you know.
You're going to probably miss
three kill.
On all of them. Three kills.
You're going to miss out on all of them. Like, not just one. Because you could have injuries too. Like,
yeah.
And everybody's vulnerable. So, like, the waiver, like, you're going to be picking up what's left.
Yeah.
And have very little resources to do so. You feel okay? I felt like they'd go 500. I don't know if I would.
500.
I said I don't. I think they would go 500. Like,
well, go out on a limb.
What I'm saying is, I think that waiver pickup. Would they win the league? Would you like? Would you take the field or the juggernaut?
Juggernaut.
See, I think I'd take the field.
Okay. It's not illegal to be stupid.
I just wasn't able to finish some thoughts.
Yeah.
No, that was it.
Okay.
Put period by the end of that.
Okay.
Move on.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's a little question.
Right. So, good question. Thanks, everybody, for the questions. They were enlightening.
I've got a question.
Bill's Super Bowl.
So, my question is. First of all, before I ask my actual question, I have two questions. So the first question is, do we all agree in the principle, the axiom that what goes up must come down? Kind of gravity?
No.
What goes up must come down?
No.
You disagree with that?
No.
What, a hot air balloon, that's what you're going to say?
No, a rocket ship.
Okay.
A rocket ship has to come down. Goes up to space. If it goes to the moon, it never comes down. Satellites are in the air right now. They aren't coming
down. In general, as a general principle, most things, when they go up, they got to come down, right?
What do you, it doesn't matter.
in terms of gravity, I'm just saying in general, things that go up must come down, right?
No, that's bogus.
In terms of like gravity, physics, I guess, if they're not rocket ships.
What about fantasy football?
I think there can be some regression to the mean, but not necessarily in the... Or in your case, progression to the mean.
So here's my second question. It's actually a comment. Is that the Shaky Baby Leg Alliance rose up last year, and it's coming down big time. It's going to be a hard fall, and it's going to hurt when it falls. But because I mean, first and foremost, I'm going to be in both of your faces when it happens, and it ain't nothing you're going to be able to do about it.
You ever heard of the gambler's fallacy?
Yeah, I've heard of that, and it's like Kenny Rogers made that up.
No. You think that something happened last year, so something different, so you're due to win. That's not true. Everyone has the same.
No.
Everyone has the same chance of winning.
The fold.
And that's evidenced by that each year we've had a different champion.
Oh yeah, you guys have never had a two-peat.
The data to, but like this year, you can't base any of the data on what's happening this year. Everyone has the same chance.
No, they don't.
Well, Vegas doesn't.
You and Amanda don't. You have no chance. Like it's not happening this year.
I mean, it could.
No, it's just not. It's not going to happen.
How's that not?
Not because of shaky. Because shaky.
I've done that before.
Well, you haven't done it with me in the league. First of all.
Oh, okay.
And second of all.
Wow.
And second of all.
Well, last time you won.
Huh? Ooh, well, I've had my moments in the sun. I got burnt being out in the sun for a long time. And the burn's going to come back down on the shaky baby leg.
It's like
Jerk Icarus. Alliance is what that's going to happen. And the strong arm alliance, they have no chance. John, Joey, and Derek.
Chumps.
Yeah, you are. Strong Arm Alliance.
No, that's official. That's in the books. That's in the books.
It is in the books. Ask Rob, the commissioner. You know, the guy who runs the league.
The stats say it on its computer. It says Strong Arm Alliance. It's there. 100%. Right?
Yeah, when have you ever heard me mention the Alliance?
Everybody.
You're embarrassed about it, and I don't blame you.
I wouldn't want to be in Alliance with Derek.
You remember when we had a tournament? Right? All Alliances. And then we won it. And y'all lost.
And that you were in that alliance.
That unsanctioned alliance tournament.
That you all agreed to be.
That nobody agreed to play in but you and Derek.
No, we have podcasts where y'all do it.
That's where your alliance birthed itself, was right there.
Yeah.
It was never an
the
alliance.
Dirty,
it's nasty, still there.
Strong arm it alliance.
It's still there.
They don't have to be in the alliance. They don't want to.
What y'all want? You're trying to force it. It's like,
y'all never win. So
we did win it. Don't you laugh at me?
All right, well.
Y'all won the Pro Bowl.
Pretty sure we got the stats. That's in the record book. That's in the books.
Is it?
It's in something.
It's
in two people's heads.
If it was the record, it would be one of them.
Exactly. Just because you choose not to read it does not make it untrue.
The only place we can read it is out of your mouth.
Right. So I have some. So this is for the commissioner, Rob. Activate the league. So
yeah,
please activate the league and let us know when you do that. That way people can go in and look at the stats and everything. I guess. Rule changes for this year. I don't know what's the discussion. I assume Rob may send something out before the draft. Are there any rule changes you're looking at that would be interesting to bring forward or anything we want to take away?
I think the super flex position probably needs to be adjusted. Or one of the flex positions to where you don't have that much leeway to where it does make you setting your lineup more important to where you can't just dump all your best players in there. I feel like setting a lineup, it's part of it. So limit one of those flex positions to where you can either start a tight end or a quarterback at super flex. and not have so many available spots for receivers and running backs. I know I'm one of them too. Like, you want to have all your the best points getters out on your team, but I feel as that it takes away. I think it can add to the league by taking that away, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking
about. That's interesting. Like, that way people will probably have leave more room for quarterbacks on their bench, I would assume, or have an extra tight end or something like that.
Right. And it could promote more trades potentially because, hey, I can only start X amount of receivers and running backs. I got this stud guy that should start, but I don't have room because, you know, I either drafted well or I made good waiver pickups.
Yep.
It may help the health of the waiver wire potentially. I don't know. That's kind of what I feel like we maybe discussed that a little bit at the end of last season.
I think we talked about it had to do with the tight end or something like that, where
like limit a receiver or running back because we're starting. I feel like we're probably starting way too many.
Yeah, we have. I'd have to look, but it's three receivers, one flex,
and
then the super flex.
Mm-hmm. So two running backs, three receivers, and two flexes. So I mean, you can start five receivers.
Potentially, yeah.
Like, and it's kind of become a receivers-driven league.
Yeah.
You know, and or you have a pass-catching running back.
I think that's, yeah, that brings, I do like that because then tight ends become more of a thing.
I think you'll see a lot of QBs in those positions.
Yeah, mostly QBs, but, like, towards the end of the year, like, there were a lot of teams that only started one quarterback.
Yeah.
And that would lead to either more people starting two quarterbacks or having an extra tight end.
Or you can get rid of a receiver spot.
Yeah.
And leave the flex alone.
I think if when you first brought it up, I thought I don't have a strong opinion on it. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think changing it, that super flex position to open it up to other positions, kind of, I think that would help diversify your strategy in drafting, where you wouldn't feel like you had to have a third quarterback, you know, or a fourth quarterback or whatever. Like, you, instead of drafting a third or fourth quarterback, you could draft, you know, another tight end or another receiver. Or... Yeah, so I'm good with it.
I'm
good with that.
I think that's interesting. I would vote for that.
I'm good with that.
But we'll leave it up to the commission to
put that
up.
Yeah, I'd say either limit the super flex or remove a wide receiver slot.
Okay.
And leave the super flex. I mean, it's super flexy. It kind of defeats the purpose. It would be so super if it only had QB tight end in it.
Right.
But it feels like, I don't know, setting your lineup, it make it more difficult, I guess. It really doesn't make it that much more difficult, but I think it can make things different.
Or make one of the regular flexes that...
Or, yeah, do that.
I guess just to feel... It seemed like everybody liked the super flex change.
I feel like this. Yeah, the two QBs kind of worked.
I think that's probably not going anywhere. I think everybody was pretty happy. I don't... People were... It didn't seem like everybody that wanted to get rid of it entirely.
But I'm just curious to know how many teams throughout the season started two QBs.
I did.
Like, I feel like...
I feel like most teams did.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say, like, my team didn't win because I started two quarterbacks. They were just, like, solid.
Right.
And I had, like, pretty deep wide receivers.
Right? Yeah.
Right. I don't think it would necessarily help win or lose a season or a league. I mean, it would affect everybody the same. But add a different... And you know, I thought we'd put up a lot more 300 bombs and stuff, which we really didn't do at all.
When it comes to 300 bombs, I think they should be rare. Like, it shouldn't be.
But we added a super flex, and we didn't get that.
Yeah.
Of course, scoring was way down last year in the NFL. It was bad. Like, historically bad. So, maybe that you'll see an uptick in that.
But, yeah.
That'd be one that I would at least discuss. I don't necessarily say, hey, I'm all for doing that. That I feel like that could be something we could do.
Yeah. I kind of like that. Whatever brings more strategy involved.
Yeah.
Options.
That's
like,
what.
I guess like restrictions can bring more strategies.
Yeah.
To the game.
Sure.
And I think it would be good. But I like it. I think it should be brought forward. How do y'all feel about the point two, or is it for every half yards, it's a, or a, what is it? For every 5 yards, it's a point rule. We've had that for a couple of years now. Is that something we want to keep? I know, I think it's fine.
I mean, my only problem is from a legacy perspective, that's going to drastically drop the average scores.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've been playing under this point two system, I think, since 2019 or maybe 2020. I don't know. I think it was 2020 we started it.
It wasn't Rob's their first year. It was the second year.
So most of the time we've been playing under this point two, and I don't know. I think we've all kind of gotten used to it. I think we all understand the impact that it has. I'm fine with keeping it.
It does make running quarterbacks more valuable, but it's still all right. It doesn't seem like it's all right. Joey has Lamar Jackson. There's no way I could beat him.
Yeah, it's not a cheat code.
I didn't have any running quarterbacks last year, and I won.
If we're just keeping it for legacy, I don't know if that's a really good reason to keep it. But we're all used to it. But, I mean, is a 30-yard run equivalent to a touchdown? It's not. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you minimize a touchdown. Is that something, like, touchdowns aren't, they don't happen all the time. You know, there's three or four on each side, maybe two or three each side. So, are we just kind of, I'm kind of on the fence with it. I can make a strong argument to keep it, make a strong argument to get rid of it.
Well, let's think about it from the running back position. If you drop it down to point one, that's going to lower the running back value even more than it already is. Because it's not getting as many carries.
That's just the game.
Well, I'm just saying that's a consequence of the change. I mean, you're going to lower the value of the running back.
But if the 1 yard, 30-yard catch worth more than a touchdown.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't disagree. Necessarily,
like, touchdowns don't matter much.
But how often does a 30-yard run happen?
No, a 30-yard catch,
whatever,
is worth more.
Yeah, but how often does that? Now receivers catching 30 yards, that happens a lot. But running backs don't run 30 yards.
No, but
it's more often than a touchdown.
Yeah.
No, No, I don't know. You think so? You think every game there's. Well, how many touchdowns are in a normal game?
We don't have to be like 20. Five? They get, I mean,
If they get 30 yards.
It doesn't matter if they did it in one run or two.
No, but you said it.
I'm saying just if you took one play, a touchdown pass versus a 30-yard catch, it's the same.
I mean, I get it, but I think we're trying to balance out these positions, and I think what we've done has – not perfectly at all, but I mean, it has balanced out the positions a little bit because it kind of creates a new wrinkle in your draft strategy. We talked about running quarterbacks have a little more value. But then also running quarterbacks on the other side of that are also more prone to injury. Daniel Jones last year, that's exactly why I drafted him in the second round, is because he was a running quarterback and I thought I was going to get rushing yards. And, you know, I was looking at the point two then, and that didn't work out for me.
He got hurt though.
Right, but that's my point. Like, is running quarterbacks are more prone to injury, although Lamar hasn't really been hurt much. But
or Josh Ipu.
Yeah, so, but, or maybe they're not. It just seems to me that they are.
I think it's probably a rule that we need to revisit every year, or eventually say it is what it is. And
I mean, in my estimation, you need to come up with a strong case against it. And I don't think it's strong.
A 30-yard run is not worthy of a touchdown. It's not even close. It's like not even close.
Okay, is a catch worth a 10-yard run? Is that equal? You get 1 point for a catch and you get 1 point for running 10 yards. Yeah. You think that's equal?
Yeah, because you're being defended.
A running back running 10 yards? Average 4 yards a carry. They don't average 10 yards a carry. So I mean, to get a 10-yard run is pretty good. Like that doesn't happen very often for running backs to run 10 yards. Right, but it happens a lot that a receiver could catch one ball for 0 yards and still get 1 point.
I mean, he can get catches too. Like, so I mean, it kind
of. I know that, but
it's relative. That makes sense. He catches the ball, he gets a point. Yeah. You know? So whereas a touchdown, A quarterback throws a touchdown.
Yeah. For me personally, like, I'm coming, like, I have, you know, three other leagues, and this makes the league a little different. More unique, different yeah. than it the other different. Leagues. So it's something to think about later for me. But so for me, I'd probably
leave it be.
I would leave it, like, I would be abstained from the vote. Like, I'm good either way. So I probably wouldn't vote one way or the other, which probably leads to me not.
Would you be? It. I don't know if he can change it, but if he said, all right, 1.5.
0.15.
But then that, at that point, does it really matter?
I think you'd rather go back to normal.
I mean, we're literally doubling everything a receiver does. Like, we're doubling.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Well, and a running back too.
Rushing and receivers get double points.
Yeah, a 10-yard run is worth 2 points, but a 10-yard catch is worth 3 points because they get a point for a catch, and that's where my point is coming in. Like, if you're going to really say anybody's at an advantage, it's receivers.
Right, I'm just saying it
because I mean running backs do catch the ball, but not nearly as much as receivers.
How it was, receivers still have advantage over running backs.
Like, say, because of PPR. And we're kind of just arguing about it. I'm cool with it, but I think CJ Stroud and one other quarterback had 5 touchdown games. I think they scored half the amount of points than a receiver that had 3 touchdowns. They had half. It was like 80-43 or something like that. Like, imagine you had CJ Stroud and you played against that guy. You're like, my guy had a way better game. And got half as few points.
Yeah.
Like, are we just going to be like, okay, that's cool. It is what it is, and it's fun. But, like, truthfully, like, that's broken.
It's, yeah. It,
like, that is ridiculous.
It's just not something we're going to get perfect.
Right.
You know.
Oh, sure. Yeah, well, you could just get rid of it. We could if we got rid of the double the points.
That would make it a little more balanced, but it still would. There still be some skews, you know.
You could argue that,
like, to be probably more fair, we probably should go half point PPR.
Well, even then, it's a double.
That's where I was going to go next, because half point PPR is a real thing. Like, there are half point PPR leagues.
But.
And that's probably the reason why, is to balance out the receiver position against. And you know what? If there's one change, I'd probably be behind it, probably that one. I think I'd get behind that more than anything.
Then going back to
then getting rid of the point two. I think I'd rather go to half PPR than get rid of the point two.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because there's so many, like, there's receivers that get like 8 catches for 28 yards. You know what I mean? Like, they got 8 points for 8 catches. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just Alvin Kamara to say.
Yeah, they catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage and lose 4 yards, they still get points. Like,
yeah.
I think the half point would mitigate that some.
Yeah,
I feel like what you're trying to do with the receptions is what you probably should do with the yardage. You're doing it on a much smaller scale. You're minimal. It's minimal.
I just feel like it's too much change.
I'm not saying I'm before or again. I'm saying if we just fleshed it out.
We're just talking about it. This is one, like, for super flex. I think we're keeping that. For, I don't think anybody.
I feel like
this one, like, I don't know. You know,
it comes up every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I was the first year after the first year I hated it, and now I'm kind of like
used to it.
It's what it is. Like, I've grown used to it. I've gotten accustomed to how it is and been able to win through it.
And I'm cool with that.
I guess I have my own biases. I have other leagues. Sure. I've already won. But I'm not opposed. Like, if there were enough people that didn't want to do it,
yeah,
I'm totally fine.
Well, you know, maybe it's something that Rob puts out a poll.
Poll like one last time,
and then it is what it is.
But I think the poll needs to be strategic. It needs to be. I don't know how you would do it exactly, but because we're kind of talking about three different things, right? We're talking about getting rid of the point two, or we're talking about changing the PPR to 0.5.
I don't want to do that.
Or we're talking about just stripping it all down to standard scoring almost.
I don't want to do standard.
Now is 0.1 point PPR. That's standard leagues.
Yes.
Right.
Doing the no PPR, that's not standard.
I like PPR. I've always...
Yeah, there's no way to get rid of
it. I understand that it kind of skews receiving running backs and wide receivers a little more than they should be, but I just like
points.
Like I get to watch and they watch one player and they get pulled and I'm like, all right, I got a point.
Yeah, and
like,
even if it's a 3-yard catch, it's 1.3 points, you know, like that's or 1.6. You know, like, I mean, that's not nothing. I mean, that's but I would be, I think, again, I'd be behind, I'd be more behind the 0.5, moving it back to PPR 0.5 would be my position. But yeah, I'd like to hear everybody else's thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, get everybody else's lead thing. Let me know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, so that, I think that's the main rule changes talked about. I don't think we have any other like big changes that we want. Like, I don't think anybody wants defensive players or
no.
Kicker,
I still don't know the rules of the defense, but I'm just gonna leave it how it is.
That's kind of his way. I'm cool. It's fine. Like, I'm not mad.
If you want all right. One thing else I have, you know, we're looking at, everyone's probably doing their own research. Been looking at the potential offenses this year. Like, what is the offense that you all think you want a piece of coming to the draft? Like, not necessarily a player, but you're just like, all right, that's that. I know that team's gonna move the ball. I need
Houston, like, the Texans.
The Texans. That's probably
the easy one. I mean, that's the easy one. Yeah.
Other than them, maybe Philly.
Yeah.
Saquon.
About Philly.
I just really like Saquon there.
Yeah.
I think Jason Kelce leaving is like big. It's really big.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think they're gonna take a little period. They're still gonna get
team, yeah. I mean, they got all the pieces. I mean,
like, I would assume they'll be good.
Yeah,
but, you know,
obviously, you got your San Francisco's and stuff like that.
San Francisco's good. I would say like Detroit would be a good one.
Yeah,
Detroit.
I might pick Chicago as well.
Chicago.
I think Jacksonville can be sneaky good on offense.
Yeah, Bengals.
Maybe. Like that's
Miami.
Kind of, you got Trevor Lawrence coming in his third season. You got ETN, who was really good last year.
It's kind of a make or break it for them. Like, I think this is the proven
season. I think it's a make or break it for Jacksonville and Buffalo. I feel like Josh Allen and these guys, like,
well, like but, same Buffalo, with, the it's just the, like, the regular season doesn't matter. It's like you got to be.
That's
gotta,
what I mean.
You like, got to be Kansas City.
If they don't win it. Like, I don't think the same way with Baltimore. Like,
yeah,
I think it's a make or break it. Baltimore is a team that's I may want a piece of that.
Baltimore. I agree. I think they're gonna. They're not like, you know, there's Lamar, but there's not necessarily one player on there that's like, you know, is gonna
Derrick Henry maybe.
But like, you know, it's gonna be a good offense. You just want to like. Have a little bit of stock in it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, all right.
I feel like they're going to score. Gonna
I'll take Zay Flowers, you know,
yeah,
see what happens.
I'm not.
You know, Mark Andrews is probably, he could be the number one tight end this year, for sure, if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
What else? I mean,
the Rams.
Rams, yes. Like, I'd want a piece of the, we talked about that earlier.
Unless Stafford goes down, I don't want Jimmy G.
I mean, the Chargers could be interesting. I mean, they still got Justin Herbert. I know they lost some pieces with Eckler and Mike Williams leaving, but they brought in some interesting.
I'm gonna keep on. I think the Chargers will be underrated, for sure. Like, people think they're just gonna run the ball.
And I don't know how fantasy relevant.
Their best player is still Herbert.
I think they'll win games, but I don't know how fantasy relevant they'll be.
I think Herbert will be the number one offensive player on the team. So like, I think because of Jeff Harbaugh. Running the ball so much, Michigan people think that's all he's going to do. I think a lot of players are going to be like undervalued, but I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say it's an offense that I would want a piece of. Right, like, no. Going into the draft, like
Brad said, I think it's keep an eye on.
Yeah.
So there's some questions because they bring in J.K. Dobbins, who really hasn't up to this point in his career had a chance to show what he can do. Yeah. I mean, he's been injured both seasons he was in the league. I mean, does he get healthy? If he gets healthy and stays healthy, and he is who we think he could be, you know, they could have a nice piece in the backfield. And I don't know that the receivers are going to blow you away, but I don't know, just sneaky team on offense. The Chargers always seem to have a good offense, and they got. I mean, I think Justin Herbert's still a top you know, top eight quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we had all the, like, maybe the Chiefs would be. Although, like, last year, I think their offense is going to be better than last year, like, regular season-wise. They seem to, like, not, they weren't very cohesive or consistent last year. They got it together in the playoffs.
But their best receiver last year was a rookie, and he's in deep doo-doo.
Yeah.
Off the field issues.
Well, and there's one team we haven't mentioned yet, and I just thought of it, and I'm shocked that we haven't Miami.
I just said Miami.
Oh, you did?
Miami has
Miami, Cincinnati. I mean, all the good teams, obviously.
Miami put up a lot of points last year, too. Right?
Yeah.
They got Waddle back.
They got the 70-point game.
Achan's back. And
Achan, yeah, your favorite guy.
I mean, I'll draft
him. And you know what? I think another team might be a little sneaky. I don't think they're going to be, like, one of the best offenses, but I think Tennessee will probably be good.
I got Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley and D-Hop, and they have somebody else who's really Tony Pollard. And they got a good tight end. And Levis.
Got burned by Pollard last year.
Levis is better than I thought he would be in the league. I think
that's what's going to be interesting is you got some of these guys who kind of played the role like Pollard. He was in Dallas for several years and he kind of waned there at the end of his tenure at Dallas. But maybe he has a rejuvenation going to a new team. Yeah. You know, same thing with Dalvin Cook going to Baltimore, or Derrick Henry going to Baltimore, Josh Jacobs going to Green Bay, or you know, a lot of these big names are moving to other teams, and maybe you'll see rejuvenation or maybe you'll see regression. Depending on the offense that they're in, you know, the opportunities they get. I think this set up to be a season that's going to be difficult to predict.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
I think waiver is probably going to be a lot more
active. It's just like everyone's optimistic right now about their teams, except if you're like
Carolina.
The Broncos or Dallas. Dallas, I mean, they didn't do anything in the offseason, but they still...
I don't think their fans are too active.
Yeah, it's not fun watching every other team pick up their players
and then not
do anything.
Yeah, you getting Zeke, and that's about it.
I mean, I'd still...
Getting a shell of Zeke.
Like a favorable offense.
I mean, don't forget about the Bengals.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Joe Burrow's coming back.
I mean, they're Super Bowl contenders every year.
Zach Moss is there. He's fine. You know, they've got a formidable offense as well, so... I think there's a lot of – I think with all the moves, it's improved a lot of the team's offensive profiles, and especially when you're Aaron Rodgers is coming back now, and we had some quarterback injuries last year, so hopefully we won't see that as much this year. And we'll have I think like John alluded to, last year was kind of – the scoring was down. I kind of hope to see that tick back up, and with some of these moves, I think you could see that happening.
I think that's – one of the reasons why the scoring was not, there's like quarterback injuries last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of quarterbacks. Like, a lot of guys coming in their second and third year that are going to break out, and some of these other guys who are on the back end of their career are going to fade. You're going to see there's going to be a bit of a change in the guard. We probably don't know who those names are yet, but we'll see it.
Yeah.
Yep.
They'll be on my team.
Yeah. All of them will be on John's team.
All of them.
Every one of them.
Yeah, so there'll be like 10 trades to John. Okay. Even though we haven't had 10 trades in 5 years.
Them if you want, I'm not giving them up.
We had, how many trades did we have last year? Two?
Two.
I think we'll have another two this year.
I'm not going over. If you're going to set it to over or under at 2.5, I'm not going over.
I'll set it to 1.5.
I might go over. I'm 1.5.
I think I'll go over that.
I don't know. It depends on if we, you know, mess with the flex position and stuff. I think you maybe see one or two more potentially.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. That's really all I have for roundtable. Anybody have
anything else? It's good. It's summertime. It's 95 degrees outside. It's hot.
How many days are left?
Luke? 79 days.
79
days.
Until kickoff.
All right, guys. 2 months. Just over 2 months. And probably around 2 months to our draft. It will be, you know, late part of August. So we're looking at coming up on that pretty quick. It's going to go by fast, as it always does. So we'll let you guys go now. We'll be back in August for more podcast fun. All right, Chaos Fantasy Scumbags, the 2024 Summer Special is in the books, and we're all excited as the calendar moves closer to football season. Then a season that promises to be ultra-competitive with so many NFL roster changes and question marks with players and new offenses. Also, the Alliance competition gets off to a hot start in this episode with some nasty smack talk that's bound to hurt some fantasy managers' feelings. But in the meantime, get prepared to set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember that nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.